Psalm 37. It's not been consecutive weeks. Of course, last week was Thanksgiving, and we had on Tuesday evening our prayer, praise, and pie service, and what a blessed service that was. And we now will get back to our study here on Psalm 37. This evening, we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 and making good progress. Most of the weeks, we've just looked at one verse of Scripture, and these verses, they separate together well. And so we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11. Look at what the Word of God says. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we're mindful this evening that the Bible is full of profitable instruction, and I'm so thankful for the instruction that God gives us. It is relevant for us. It is important for us to understand that. And we know that the particular subject that will be dealt with this evening, as you study through the Word of God, there are many verses that you will find on the subject matter of anger. Is an emotion that each of us deal with, and we obviously are familiar with many of the passages of Scripture. It's interesting, if you look at Paul's instruction to the church at Ephesus and also to his instruction in the church of Colossae, in both of those passages of Scripture, or both of those books in the New Testament, we find that the Apostle Paul deals with a principle that I've often referred to as the put-off and put on. He's talking about the new man and walking in the newness of life, understanding that we've been born again. We have been, we're new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the put off, put on principle. And it's interesting, in the Ephesians passage, he addresses anger. He says, be angry and sin not. And then we find that he mentions in the passage in Colossians that we're to put off anger and wrath and malice and envy and so on and so forth. And so we find that in both of those passages, the subject matter of anger is addressed. We find also in the book of Galatians in the fifth chapter, oftentimes we're looking at the fifth chapter of the book of Galatians, appropriately so, and dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. But before he deals with the fruit of the Spirit, he addresses the works of the flesh. And he says that they are listed out, and they're identified, and you'll find within that list wrath. And here in our passage of Scripture, we deal with wrath as well. And it's interesting, for we find that we are given the admonition in the book of Proverbs. You might want to jot it down, chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. I won't read the entirety of both of those verses. But the Bible in verse number 24 says this, that we're to make no friendship with an angry man. And then the Bible says this in verse number 25, lest thou learn his ways. And then it says this, and get a snare to thy soul. And you know, the reality is that the people that we associate with, that we hang out with, we learn their ways. And we understand the power of influence and the importance of taking heed to the instruction, to the admonition that has been given in the Word of God with regard to the subject matter that is before us this evening. Again, as we think about the subject of anger and wrath as it's dealt with here, I thank God that He has provided us with such valuable, profitable instruction in His Word. If you are taking notes this evening, I've just titled the lesson, just as we have in many of these lessons through Psalm 37, from that first phrase in verse number 8, cease from anger. Cease from anger. As you look at this passage, I believe, first of all, again, if you're taking notes, we note that there is a word of caution. A word of caution. And I notice, as we've studied through this passage of Scripture, the instruction and the direction that God gives, and how that He's providing us with these statements and these words of instruction, these words of caution. And He says in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Anger, when He says cease from anger, the idea of ceasing is to drop or to abandon. It carries with it the idea of letting something go. And so He says, cease from anger. And then He says the follow-up statement to that, as we find there, and forsake wrath. The idea of forsaking is to depart from, to leave. And really, when we think about wrath, there's a distinction between anger and wrath, and we notice that wrath is really rage or violent anger. And we see here that the psalmist, David, he's saying to those that he's writing to, God, by way of preservation, is saying to each of us this evening, he's giving us this word of caution that we are to cease from anger and we are to forsake wrath. There are many things in this world that can cause us to be angry. Would you agree with that this evening? Listen, it's an emotion that we deal with. Amen? That's why I'm so thankful that God's given us profitable, valuable instruction with regard to the subject of anger and wrath, because God knows our frame. He's the one that's made us, and He knows that we deal with this. And we can see many times as we look at this word of caution and we see the instruction that we're to cease from anger and forsake wrath in Psalm 37 and verse number 8. Notice how he continues. He says, "Fret not thyself," and then notice this, "in any wise to do evil." See, the reality is that as we look at anger and wrath, often what happens is anger and wrath will lead to evil actions. How many times have you and I had to apologize for something because we did something, we said something as a result of being angry? We were angry about the circumstances, we were angry about whatever it was that took place, and we said something, we did something, and then later on we had to go back and say, you know, I have to apologize for that, I seek your forgiveness, because often anger and wrath will lead to evil actions. It's interesting as we find in Ephesians, as I mentioned a moment ago, that the Word of God says, be angry and sin not. I found that many people have a very hard time with doing that. It's a very fine line between being angry and then sinning as a result of that anger. And we talk about righteous indignation, and certainly there are some things that take place, there are some things in our world today that ought to cause the child of God to look at and say, this is just not right, this is a problem what's going on in our society, but we must understand that we are to trust in the Lord. See, anger and wrath are quite the opposite of what we find in the instruction that's already been given. Notice in verse number 4, let me remind you, several weeks ago, we looked at verse number 4, the psalmist says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Now, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, that's quite different than being angry and having wrath. Not only does he say that we're to delight ourselves, but notice also in verse number 7, we studied this 2 weeks ago, he says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And so we find that he's given us all of these pieces of instruction, and he's providing us with this word of caution, and he says to the believer, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Oftentimes what happens, he says, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. How often someone has been angry about something that has taken place, and they respond to it in an angered fashion themselves, and they themselves end up doing evil. God says that we're to cease from anger and we're to forsake wrath. So we note that there's a word of caution, but I want you to rejoice this evening. There's a word of comfort. In the next several verses of Scripture, we find that there's an obvious contrast that is developed. In verse number 9, he refers to the evildoers, and then in verse number 10, he refers to the same group of people as the wicked. You'll see that in the beginning of verse number 9, it says, for evildoers. And then in verse number 10, it says, for yet a little while, and the wicked. And so we find that he's looking at this group that he's referring to as being evildoers or the wicked. And the contrast is provided to us because it says in verse number 9, but those that wait upon the Lord. And then that same group of people are referred to in verse number 11, but the meek. And so we find that you have evildoers or wicked, and there's a contrast with those that wait upon the Lord or the meek. And we find that God is going to provide us with this contrast, and I believe that it's a word of comfort for us this evening. Notice with me, if you will, what the Bible says about this first group that is addressed, the evildoers or the wicked. It says this in verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. Then it says this in verse number 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Then notice what he says, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. So we find that what God tells us about these evildoers and about the wicked, remember, this is how he started the passage of Scripture. In verse number 1, he says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." And we mention in that very first lesson that throughout the 37th Psalm, you would find that there are references to the same group of people, the evildoers, the wicked, the workers of iniquity, is referenced throughout the passage of Scripture. And this evening, when we notice what he says about this group of people, he says, they shall be cut off. That means to be eliminated or to be destroyed. It means to perish. It says this in verse number 10, "For yet a little while," and of course, a little while is an undetermined and unstated period of time. But he says, yet a little while. By the way, remember that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, right? God's timing is not our timing, and we are within the confounds of time, but God is outside of time. And so he says, for yet a little while. Notice what it says in verse 10, "And the wicked shall not be." And then it says this, "Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." Now let me say this, I want to be careful on how I word this evening. As we look at this as being a word of comfort, I want us to understand that our desire is not for the evildoers or the wicked to stay within that category in order to have that demise. Our desire should be for evildoers and wicked to be saved by the grace of God. Because at one point in your life and at one point in my life, I was in the category of being an evildoer or a wicked person. Amen? And so were you. And the reality is, I'm thankful that God, who is rich in mercy, I'm thankful that, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, we all had our conversation in times past. We were all hopeless and helpless without Christ. We were the enemies of the Lord, but God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him, that we're not going to perish, we have everlasting life. And we can rejoice in that wonderful truth of the Word of God this evening. And so when we think about the evildoers and the wicked that are described here in verses 9 and 10, it's not that we're standing here and we're rejoicing and triumphing in what their demise is going to be, because our God said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're to love and to show the love of Christ, and we're to give the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this evening, we understand that there will be folks that do not get saved. It's just the way it's going to be. There are going to be many that are going to reject, right? Broad is the way, and that leads to destruction. And we understand that the Word of God teaches us that there'll be many that will reject the truth. But we begin to think about the content and really the context of this particular passage of Scripture, we find that repeatedly what God is helping us to understand is to not look at the temporary situation. And we're not to be in this place. We're to understand that, listen, these evildoers and these wicked, if they do not trust the Lord as their Savior, they will be cut off. They will be destroyed. And the reality this evening is that I don't know, and I hope that it would not be said of anyone within our congregation or that's tuned in, that we'd be able to read the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation without having a heavy heart, a compassionate heart, a weeping, if you will, for those that would stand at the great white throne judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. That's tragic. But we find that that's truth. That's what the Word of God teaches. Notice, as we mentioned, the contrast. He talks about the evildoers and the wicked, but we see that then he refers to, in verse number 9, but those that wait upon the Lord, and then he refers to that group, as I mentioned a moment ago in verse number 11, as being the meek. those that rest, really, he talks about those that, in verse number 9, those that wait upon the Lord. If you remember last week as we talked about the instruction that we're to rest in the Lord, that carried with it the idea of being silent, to be still, to wait. And here in verse number 9, he says, but those that wait upon the Lord, he talks about the meek. And notice what he says, these that he's referring to, he says this in verse number 9, they shall inherit the earth. That's quite a contrast to the evildoers and to the wicked that will be cut off. He says they shall inherit the earth. Notice in verse number 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And so when we begin to look at the contrast here and we begin to think about the word of comfort that God is giving us, the reality is that this life is not all there is. Amen? Aren't you thankful for that? I mean, listen, as pleasant of a life that you might be able to have here on this earth, it's just a fleeting moment. It doesn't matter how old we are or when it is that we take that final breath in comparison to eternity, it's just about that long. And the reality is that we as the people of God, we that are looking at this passage of Scripture that have received the Lord as our Savior, we understand that we have all of eternity. And he says that they that wait upon the Lord, that we're taking that instruction in verse number 7, rest in the Lord. And we're waiting on him. We're knowing that God has always had and he continues to have a perfect plan. That God never makes a mistake. He never has and he never will. And we're resting in him and we're waiting on him. And he says that we shall inherit the earth. As we look at this truth and we find that he then says this in verse number 11, not only the fact that we shall inherit the earth, but notice what he says at the end of verse number 11, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Isn't that precious? Every word of God is pure, and when we see how God writes this particular verse of Scripture to say that our delight, that they shall delight themselves, notice, in the abundance of peace. There's no peace with the wicked. The book of Isaiah deals with that. There's no peace with the wicked. There's a world today that's looking for peace, but we understand that the Prince of Peace came and the world rejected him. Right? But when we trust him as our Savior, he gives us his peace. That's what he says in the book of John. He says, my peace I give unto thee. He says that we're able to have a peace that passeth all understanding. He tells us that we're to have the peace of God ruling in our hearts. We begin to understand as we look at this passage of Scripture and we find that he speaks about delighting themselves in the abundance of peace, inheriting the earth, and then the abundance of peace. See, the ultimate fulfillment of this truth that is shared with us in this portion of Scripture is when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets up his millennial kingdom. And that's really the fulfillment of what we read in verse number 9 and in verse number 11 of inheriting the earth and having that abundance of peace. And I'm thankful that one day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and he is going to establish his millennial kingdom. And we understand between now and then there's a tribulation period of time that will take place, but he will establish his millennial kingdom and he will rule and reign. And when you read all of the prophecies regarding the period of time referred to as the millennial kingdom, you will see that it is a time where there will be peace. It's quite different than what we have on our earth today. But here's what God wants us to understand. Get your eyes off of the temporary and look to the eternal. See, so often what happens when we look at this passage of Scripture, and again, as I mentioned, several thousand years ago this was written, and you think about how relevant it is for us today. In David's time, there were evildoers. Guess what? There are evildoers still today. Would you agree? In fact, the Bible says that evil men, they're going to wax worse and worse, right? And we see that in our land. We see what's taking place, and we find that the Word of God is giving this instruction several thousand years ago, that David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is telling those people, listen, don't fret over that. Don't be angry. Don't have wrath. Trust in the Lord. Delight in Him. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust in Him. Rest in Him. Cease from these things. And we find that that instruction that they needed is still needed for us today. And it's so wonderful to see how relevant God's Word is for us and how easy it is for the people of God, because of the circumstances, because of the things that we deal with on a daily basis, how easy it is for us to become distracted and to get our eyes on something else. The evildoers, the wicked, the prosperity of the wicked. I mentioned in our first study about the comparison here with the Psalm of Asaph and how he was so discouraged because he saw the prosperity of the wicked. You'll see the prosperity of the wicked. But God says that's not what your focus should be. You see, at times where God's people are suffering and dealing with adversity, but it's not always going to be that way. It's not always going to be that way. Our prayer this evening should be for those that are evildoers, that they would see the truth of the gospel, they'd be redeemed. I thank God that I'm no longer in that category. But there was a period of time in my life before I trusted Christ as my Savior that I was in that category. And so were you. For some of us, it might have just been a few years because you got saved at a young age. For some of us, it may have been decades because we were saved later in life. But aren't you thankful for the grace of God? And His grace and His mercy that reached you can reach anyone. I believe that this evening. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we give out the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that someone gave me the good news. I'm thankful that someone was willing to give a hardened Marine, my dad, the truth of the gospel. That they didn't look at him and say, man, he's too far gone. Do you hear how he speaks? Do you hear how, whatever, right? Sometimes we do that kind of thing. God's grace, God's mercy, and I'm so thankful for it. But oh, that God would help us to have an eternal perspective. We shall. You notice the word shall that's used throughout this passage of Scripture? He talked about the evildoers, that they shall be cut off. But he talked about those that wait upon the Lord, those that are resting in Him, those that are referred to as the weak, that we shall inherit the earth, that we shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Listen, God has a plan, and there's nothing that anyone can do. Satan himself cannot thwart the plan of God. There's no politician, there's no world leader, there's no any circumstance that can change one minuscule the plan that God has. I believe that tonight. God has a plan. And these things shall come to pass. And oh, that God would help us. I hope tonight that we would cease from anger, that we would forsake wrath. Don't allow the circumstances of life, the things that we see in our world, to cause us to jeopardize our own walk with God and do some sinful thing in our own lives that would cause our walk with God to be hindered because of anger and wrath in our own lives. No, help us to delight ourselves in the Lord. Help us to rest in Him and to trust in Him, because God has a plan. And God is the righteous judge, and the righteous judge always does right. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. How we thank You for loving us. We thank You for the Word of God. Lord, I thank You for this word of caution. I thank You for the word of comfort. God, I pray that You'd help us in our lives to keep our eyes fixed upon Thee. Lord, that You would help us to have an eternal perspective. God, that You would help us to be faithful, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that souls would be saved, that lives would be changed. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. God, I pray that as we review these updates for our missionaries and share some prayer requests, that, Lord, You would just work in our hearts and lives, encourage us. And God, I pray that we would pray, Lord, fervently, and that we'd see you work in a very distinct way. Well, thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.